Well, hello, darlings. Happy Thursday. Happy first day of bloody Sagittarius. And look, whilst this is very exciting, we are moving into Sag season, and we all love Sagittarius season because it is the benevolent Jupiter who rules Sagittarius. You know, we've still got a couple of days of tension, darlings, but I'm so excited to be here. I have taken really scrambled with a hell of a lot of notes because it's a really big week to end this final, well, it's not the final month of 2023, but numerologically, it's the final month of 2023. And I know that you're all feeling me here. For most of us, November has felt much more exponential than October. For some, you know, October and November have just been a whirlwind for people. But November has, you know, this death season of Scorpio season has been absolutely enormous. You know, I am a lover of Scorpio season. It's very normal for me. This is the terrain I live in. But this year has been, I mean, look, it wasn't too bad, but it was just very interesting. And I think, you know, there's a myriad of things going on, obviously, but yeah, it's been a little bit of a time, darlings. You know, it's been a bit of a time. I mean, so many people have had so many things, one after the other, after the other, after the other. I really don't have anything to complain about first world problems here. I mean, I was sick for a week, got an infection, but I'm over it now. So it's 1 week out of a month, which doesn't define my entire month. but you know, there has been tension, and ultimately, you know, Mars in Scorpio has really driven home, you know, this real underworld theme of death and dying off, the old dying off, especially in this numerology 9 month. I mean, like I said, this is a very powerful month of 2023, purely even just on a numerology level, because it's the end. It's the end of the year. It's the end of a time. And it all happened in Scorpio season, you know, which is the death mother, which is what's dying off. And I feel like it's been pretty huge. And so this week from now and through till the end of November is quite, again, going out with a bang. You know, I've just got that song, bang, bang, bang. Da, da, da. You know that song? I think it says un deux trois. I don't actually know if it does say that, but yeah, it's a song. And I'm just like, this month is going out with a bang. There is a lot happening this month. So where do I even begin? I don't know. Well, I begin by a few different things. I just decided I've had the formaldehyde essence from Sphere and Sundry for so long, like, you know, all year I've had it for, even longer. It's a fixed star. And I've just been Googling how to say it correctly. It's a hard one. Formaldehyde or formaldehyde, you know, formaldehyde, you know, there's a million different pronunciations. It's a bit of a word. It is what it is, but it's a very benefic fixed star. It's a very bright star in the Pisces constellation, a fixed star in the Pisces constellation. And I've got this beautiful medicina made up with its formaldehyde and Jupiter. I'm saying formaldehyde. I don't know why. That's just how I'm pronouncing it. You know, it's probably wrong, but whatever. And Jupiter. And of course, I just decided to pick it up today. And I'm like, right, I'm going to wear this. It's actually super magical. It's all around magic and developing these sort of esoteric meanings. And I am literally like, you know, have like a 600 page tarot book that I am like, you know, diving into, that I am dying to devour, as I have been taking this Deacon walk through the tarot and the astrology. I'm onto this last quarter. And so I just sort of went and bought this incredible book, and I'm just diving into it. And again, very subconsciously, I've had this essence here, this talisman, this magical talisman here for, yeah, like I would say a year. You know, it's definitely been all this year, and I just haven't been felt called to use it. And of course it's Jupiterian, and of course it's benefic, and of course today is the day of Jupiter. It's the day I decide to wear it. It's the first day of Sagittarius. Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. Jupiter's in Taurus, my home sign. I mean, there's just magic around, darlings. And this is, you know, even Deacon 1 of Sagittarius is very magical. It is the major arcana card of the magician. So, and Mercury, it's the Deacon of Mercury. So again, messages and magic and working with magic is really, invited for this first deacon of Sagittarius. So again, like, you cannot make this shit up. I mean, it is just so wild how you are intuitively guided to do things and then everything just lands like this magical rainbow. And it's these moments that if they continue and continually humble you and bring you to your knees in awe and in gratitude, you know, they constantly happen. You know, when you're crying in gratitude because something lands the way, you know, and you weren't expecting it, or you were expecting it and it comes better, you know, these are the days that we live for, and it is every day. Magic is every day. So I am super pumped now. I am going to start working with this talisman. There is a beautiful prayer, and I just want to read it out because it's just so delicious. Royal formal heart. Formal heart. Again, how do we say this? This is by, of course, the one and only Austin Coppock. Stellar Leviathan, Star Titan, potent and profound, master of the celestial sea, rich master of the sunken hoard, sonorous voice of the deeps, piercing eye of the watery abyss, hear my request. Open for us the treasure house of the deeps, yield unto us the hidden bounty of the many oceans. Eye and voice of the deeps, teach us to navigate thy profound depths and to speak and sing of the wonders therein. Rescuer, sea saviour, protect us from the dangers of the depths and aid us in our time of need. Master of the oceans above and below, grant us portion of thy power over the mysteries of water. And I read that, and of course, you know, Stellar Leviathan, you know, this is a real connection to Lilith, but this is just about where Saturn is going to hit. So Saturn has already hit formal heart, and there is an element of, you know, the deep sea. This is the fish. This is the ocean. This is the whale song. This is Jupiter. It's grand. It's big. And there is such a pull to the esoteric wisdom of this talisman. I am so excited. I've got a whole vial of this oil, and I can't believe I haven't been pulled to use it, because all my other ones are bloody running out. And I swear to God, you know, I want to stock up, but the US dollar and the Australian dollar to the US dollar is absolutely shit. And I just refuse to do anything like USA at the moment. I have to, because of the shipping and the friggin' Australian dollar. It ends up friggin' costing me triple. And yeah, and it's wild. But anyway, so it's just like, this is wild. And then this fixed star is 3 degrees of Pisces, which Saturn is just about to move towards again. So this is the magic, darlings. This is the magic in, I want to say the mundane, but the mundane is the magic. You know, let me just say that it's not just the magic in the mundane. The mundane is the magic. So this is how I've started this today. I've been taking notes. I've been diving into my 500-600-page tarot book. Unpacking a little bit of what the temperance means, and the temperance is the card of Sagittarius, and just diving into, you know, these key words around temperance, which is alchemy, tempering, of course, synthesizing. So it's very interesting and perfect that temperance is the major arcana that holds us through Sagittarius season, because what we're looking at here is even the word of, like, moderation of excess. It's around the reconciliation of opposites, and that is Jupiter. Jupiter is often too much. Jupiter is often, you know, too big, too ego. That is Jupiter. Jupiter is the biggest planet in our solar system, and he knows it. You know, him and the sun have a very strong relationship with one another. And we're looking at a Apollo and Zeus here. You know, these are two very big gods. And so just this temperance card, and just really tuning into what that means, aim and aspirations. And there is this element of the temperance card, which is called putrefaction, okay, which is the decay and the rotting, which it's the putrefaction of the death card. And I literally just shared something on my Instagram when I was getting a coffee this morning, before I'd even taken any of these notes or dived into my encyclopedia of tarot. And I found this word, and I found you know, obviously we go from Scorpio season to Sagittarius season, but we cannot have Sagittarius season, which is the optimism, the confidence, the seeing the bigger picture, the going on the hero's journey, the life quest, without the death and the decay, without the rotting. So it's very interesting that the putrefaction of the death card, you know, is a part of temperance. You know, like, you cannot make this shit up. And so I was getting my coffee and I shared something on Instagram, and it was very much just around saying, you know, like something like, you know, death is whispering in your ear, live, you know, something like that. And I'm like, hello, this is Scorpio season to Sag season. Excuse me. excuse me. I'm just going to have a little sippy of a drink here. And I was just like, and then I, you know, read about this putrefaction and seeing what this means. Putrefaction, that's the word, right? So it is, what it means is decay and rotting. And so the temperance card is connected to this because it's the putrefaction of the death card, which is what? The death of Scorpio season as we move into Sagittarius season. Mutable fire. You can't contain Sagittarius. If you've met strong Sagittarius people, they need freedom. Just think about fire signs, okay? So Aries is cardinal. So they are the leaders, you know, they can maybe start something and possibly not finish it, but they're the first to want to do something. They're jumping out of planes, they're climbing up the mountains, they're doing all the things, right? The Aries energy is me first, I want to win, let's move, let's get going, let's have fun, doesn't matter about anything. So that's the cardinal quality. Then you move to fixed fire, hello Leos. And you know, this is what, when I was growing up as a child, everyone would always say, oh, Leos, they're so adventurous and so this. And I was always like, no, they're not. Like, my best friends are Leos and they do not get out of their comfort zones. And because I was only a child, you know, it's like, ah, it's because they're fixed. They are the fixed fire. So they'll go to the same restaurant because they love the same potato chip. You know, it is hard to get a fucking Leo, a lion, to budge. That is the archetype of a fixed fire. It is contained. Yeah, so Leo is a contained fire. Sagittarius is the mutable fire. Sagittarius is, do not fence me in. Oh, I don't care that you've made a fire pit. I've actually caught fire over here and now I'm burning down an entire fucking country. Or now I'm burning down an entire house. Or now I'm going to burn down the forest. Because I don't care that you wanted to contain it. Don't tell me what to do, you motherfucker. Okay, and I have my youngest daughter who has a stellium in Sagittarius. And literally she has been the most independent child since she was so young. And yeah, look, I've got a Cancer moon. I love to mother. I love mothering my children. I love them needing me or wanting me, and I want them, and, you know, but I'm also very, you know, like very, I teach my children independence. But here's my baby, and, you know, she's my last baby. And she's like, oh, like, let's snuggle and let's do all these things. No. It's like, that is not what a Sagittarius stellium wants to do. The archetype of Sagittarius is freedom. You know, they're the only sign in the 12 signs that is mythical. They are the centaur. So it's so fascinating that, you know, well, yeah, everything's fascinating, but we come from this scorpionic fixed water. Again, this is fixed emotions. Fixed water that gets what? Stagnant, swampy. That's Scorpio in its shadow. And I was just watching from a beautiful, a page that I follow, Symbolic Studies, and a scorpion will actually sting itself, like commit suicide, literally, to, if it's in like too hard of a place, like, oh my God, I can't get out of this, or I'm not gonna, and I'll just, that's it, I'm just gonna die. So we come from that, like, that is the scorpion, right? Like, that is the lower, archetype of Scorpio, though, because a Scorpio, there is also the snake. But for me, the scorpion archetypes are the scorpion as the lower, very 3D, yes, will literally sting itself to get itself out of trouble. Kill itself, literally, is what it's doing. And then it's the eagle, which of course has that higher perspective, that broader perspective. It's moved away from the drama, I suppose you could say. And if I'm just talking very, very, you know, like, you know, umbrella, like, you know, of course I could talk about this stuff for fucking 738 hours on one thing. And then of course the Phoenix just becomes that rebirth, that constant rebirth, right? But it's like, you know, So it's so fascinating. So we come from this fixed water to this mutable fire. Fire burns things off. Fire is moving the dross through us and helping us to rebirth. You know, I feel like I know quite a lot of people with like a Scorpio and a Sag stellium. Like I've read for a lot of people say they've got four planets in Scorpio, four planets in Sag, or three planets in Scorpio, four planets in Sag. And it's such an interesting combination. I really like it. And because I even, you know, connect that eighth and the ninth house like this, it's like they're similar, you know, they're similar because it's about rebirth. It's about, you know, a spiritual regeneration. And so, but we can't have the optimism that Sagittarius brings without being brought to our knees where Scorpio takes us. We have to go and work with Hades in the underworld. You know, we have to eat our own pomegranates. We have to be hung on the hooks like Inanna, you know, in the underworld. For us to really strip bare all of the lies and veils that we're carrying, yeah? And then we come out the blazing fire. It really reminds me of that amazing epic moment where Dumbledore, they want to arrest Dumbledore and he just claps and turns in, you know, turn, you know, he goes, that's it, he's fire, and he taps out as the Phoenix. It's just such a beautiful moment. To me, that's the Sag, the Scorpio going to the Sag, right? So we're moving into this. Yeah, you know, the Temperance is holding us for Sag season. The decay and the rotting and the aftermath of Scorpio season. Look, it still might be felt. You know, the sun moves into Scorpio. It's already, Sagittarius today, the 23rd, here if you're down under. And then on the 24th, Mars moves into Sag. So, you know, Saturn is at 0 degrees right now of Pisces still, but he's just about to move to 1 degree. And ultimately, you know, they both move in and then they both square Sag. So there's still this sort of edge. There's still this tension. There's still this restriction. Like we're not quite out of the cage yet. We're not quite out of the underworld. It's sort of like, you know, Hades is still tickling our foot, you know, or he's still got a little tentacle wrapped around us. Not so much like the last podcast I did where I shared from my client, how she talked about that sort of that big fire pull back down for Lord of the Rings. This is more like it's still just lingering. There's still a couple of tests. You've still got to get through the next few days. So I want to say, you know, as we move, you know, into Sagittarius, you know, it will, you know, I'm hoping that it will feel good. December is a numerology 1 month, but then of course January is a numerology 9 months. So we sort of are going to get this maybe you're going on holidays in December. Maybe you're going to finish work earlier. Maybe you're doing something a little bit different, you know, like we are. We're going to my sister-in-law's house down on Palm Beach. Like I am fucking stoked with that because all of a sudden, you know, before we, you know, go and spend Christmas in Fiji with family, all of a sudden I'm going to be on the beach for a week and swimming in the water and walking on the beach and doing something very different than what I usually do. So same with my husband. He's going to be working from home, but we're working, you know, we're working on the Gold Coast. So it just feels like there's some change, and you know it's a new beginning. You know, number one, numerology one is the beginning, but then we do get plunged back in to a nine energy in January. So obviously I'll continue to talk about that over the next few weeks, but so I really, you know, feeling into and looking at the astrology of this last week, it is very, again, bang bang bang, like it's going out with a bang. Like November is no bars hold sort of stuff. Like whether you were sick, physical stuff, I shared all of this Mars Kazemi stuff over the last you know, few days, over the weekend, when I was fighting an infection and all these things, and I cannot even tell you how many people messaged me, hundreds, and they all have had something. It's like, oh, I've got kidney stones, I've got an infection, I've got, you know, this, headaches, I've been crying all day. Like it has been a very big time. For me, I really feel like last week, and maybe you're feeling the same too, is when Mars was building to that Kazemi. So pretty much, you know, Mars and the Sun were nearly there. You know, I left a potty last week that again got loads of traction. I had a lot of messages about the podcast last week. You know, it was a very big building time. You know what that feels like? It's the anticipation. It's the intensity. It's like the birth. It's like we are going through the eye of a needle. We are coming out of the birth canal. It is intense. You know, if you've delivered a baby before, you know that fiery burn, baby. Like, that is exactly what last week was. And you know what? I literally flicked on Triple J the other day when I was driving somewhere, because I'm such a friggin' bat woman in my bat cave. And some days I don't leave my house for, I'm not even shitting you, like 4 days. I just won't even get in my car. Anyway, because, you know, that's what a bat does. She lives in her cage. And so I got in the car. I had to do something. I was probably getting coffee, to be completely honest, or going to Pilates. And a lady that came on, like one of the hosts on the morning show, and she was like, was last week just like the craziest week, like the wildest week, like all this weird stuff or feeling this or feeling that? And everyone on the panel was just like, yes, yes, oh my God. And I'm like, you know what? It doesn't discriminate. Astrology does not discriminate. Everyone was feeling something last week. It was an intense week. It was the week that I was sick, you know, that's what I was saying. Like, you know, yes, I'm not going to say 1 week in November, you know, it means all of November was bad, but there has been intensity. And since that Mars Kazemi on Saturday afternoon, and maybe coming into Sunday, hopefully you felt that sort of, it's sort of like that exhale, that bit of release. But now we've got the sun in Sag squaring Saturn, and then Mars in Sag squaring Saturn. So it's sort of just like, oh, just when you think you can just feel that edge in the air. Like, trust me, I can feel the edge. And it's an edge that hasn't been there for a little while because, you know, we haven't had the sun square Saturn like this. Like, we haven't had this square because ultimately Saturn has only been in Pisces since March. So we haven't had a Sag season with Saturn in Pisces. So this is a first, just like we haven't had Sag season with Jupiter, his ruler, in Taurus, who is retrograde for the entire season. Okay, so I want to say yes, you know, that's why if Jupiter, because Jupiter is in Taurus, maybe your Sag season, like I said, looks a bit different. Maybe you're going to take a bit more pleasure. Maybe you're going to like tap out of work earlier. You know, maybe you're going to, you know, go out for dinners and go for beach walks, go and swim in the ocean, go for nature walks. You know, whatever you're going to do with your Sag season might be a little bit different to what it usually looks like. You know, next year, our Sag season, we'll have Jupiter in Gemini. So, you know, it just continually evolves and the layers change. And these are the nuances and the threads that we weave into astrology. Okay. And it's important to, I don't know, find astrologers that want to talk about this stuff. Cause I don't know, I can tell you, I listen to a lot of astrology and no one really ever talks about this sort of stuff because they, you know, focus on other things. But for me, it's, again, it's the magic in the mundane. It's the everyday stuff that we want to pay attention to and the cycles where we can activate and embody and work with the cosmic energy. So ultimately, here we are, Sag, you know, it's Sag season. For the first time, the sun will square Saturn whilst Saturn is in Pisces for the first time in 30 years, okay, in Sag season. So, you know, here again, of course, because we've had the sun in Virgo. So Virgo season, the sun also squared the sun also squared Saturn. God, trying to say sun, Saturn, Sag. Oh my God, there's a lot of S's. I feel like the snakes. Okay, I'm going to have some more coffee and then I'm going to look at the time and go, shit, I've got a lot to get through. I just have to like say the sun is opposite my Mercury. So for the next couple of days, I think all I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be chatty, meet chat from Chatsville, which is Lady Chatterley, which I'm often like when I'm not in my bat cave, not speaking for 3 days straight to anyone. So the thing is that, you know, we've got these squares. The sun wants to be happy in Sagittarius. It is jovial. It is a good fucking time. Let me tell you, it is a good time. Okay. Why do we love December? Yes, it is the Gregorian end of the year, but it is because it is Jupiter season. Just think about it. By the time you get to Christmas, it's Capricorn season already, and everyone's feeling that edge. Everyone's feeling like tired, exhausted, even though we still do our, you know, our cap, you know, we still do our Christmas. You know, it's very interesting. Like, I think in America, they have 3 months off, their summer off. So their summer is Gemini season, maybe. Is it like June, July, August? Look, I'm guessing. If you're American, please let me know. But I'm just going to guess maybe it's like June, July, August. So we're looking at Gemini season. Well, that's fun. Cancer season, that's homely and delicious. I mean, you know, you're going to get in the water and swim. And Leo season, hello, lots of fun. The sun's in Leo, where he loves to be. Whereas for us, you know, we actually have our summer holiday over fucking Capricorn. And Capricorn wants to work. Capricorn is that heavy responsibility. And so we feel that that's why we love Sagittarius, you know? That's why we love the end of the year, because Jupiter is there. But I just want to say that, look, this Sagittarius season is tainted with this square to Saturn to start with. Then Mars comes into Sag, which is going to be just another good bloody time. Let me give you the hot tip. The next few months of Mars, I'm here for. Like, until Mars moves into Pisces, you want to just friggin' work, you know, work with Mars. Because Mars in Sag, look, that's just fun. Like, that's just really great. Good times. Mars in Capricorn, getting shit done, fucking climbing that mountain. Hello, I'm a goat. Let's do this shit. We're tenacious. We're, you know, Mars is exalted there in Aquarius. Love Mars in Aquarius. And then Mars moves into Pisces, where he will be, you know, drowning and not moving and lethargic and tired. So really, really enjoy. I mean, I've loved Mars in Scorpio. I mean, it's been one horny motherfucking time. Let me give you the hot tip. And Mars in, you know, I love it. It gives courage and, again, tenacity and loyalty, and you can push through things. I mean, we've all just got through. Like, look at what's going on in the world. We have made it through. We are still alive and waking up, even if we're fucking grief stricken, even if we are on the floor crying, even if we feel that we can't move because of the grief, we are still here. That is the courage of Mars in Scorpio. And so now we get Sag season. It's a time to burn the dross off. It is a time to rebirth. You know, that mutable fire. Let's move. Let's get some movement happening. But yes, the square to Saturn's going to feel tense over the next few days. And then Mars, you know, making his square to Saturn again, the two malefics. I mean, you know, in decent mutable signs, not going to feel too bad. But again, what's going to happen? Maybe there's aggression and fire and there's all these sorts of things, right? So just the next few days, yeah, there's going to be maybe some edge and some tension, but then, you know, things will probably pop after the very, very fucking strange full moon that we're going to have, which I'm going to talk about now. Like I said at the beginning of November, like, everyone's like, yay, finally, it's not October. I'm like, you're probably counting your chickens before they hatch. It's a numerology 9 month. Both of the moons are pretty fucked up. And yeah, there's that. The Mars Kazemi, which is great, but at the same time, the Mars is still hidden. We still haven't, even if you are feeling, look, I am, I'm like smashing workout this week, like I feel amazing, but I had to literally not work and put things off and heal and recover from a cold and an infection. So, you know, I had to go through, you know, the underworld stuff to come out and feel better once that Kazemi sort of peaked. And I just sort of started to come good. So we've got to do that. We've got to go through, what is it? Enter the cave, you know, we've got to enter the cave. Yeah. To integrate the shadows, to integrate the work. And so, yeah, this friggin', let me just sort of, yeah, let's just talk about what's coming up. So, because it's a big week. Okay. So I've already talked, Sun's in Sag, Mars is in Sag. Look, the 25th, Mercury will move into his shadow. So pay attention from the 25th of November through till the 13th of December, because Mercury is about to station retrograde, my friends. And he stations retrograde 13th of December. And, you know, until then, from the 25th of November, he's giving you clues as to what that's about. So you can check out your Sag and a bit of Cap house, because that's where he's moving. He's sort of moving the later degrees of Sag into early degrees of Capricorn, stations retrograde and goes back. So, you know, that's sort of where that's happening. He's going to give us these signs and symbols. Yes, we're working with that energy of the temperance, and that's what I love. Like I was saying, you know, I love that it's temperance. There's this gold and silver energy, which, yeah, I don't know. I'm just working with a lot of magic at the moment and I'm sort of just like talking this out right now. But anyway, I'm going to try and stay focused here. Gold and silver magic, which I've sort of been talking about lately. The moderation of excess, which of course is Jupiter. But remember, this is also going to be a little bit of a different Sag season because Jupiter is in Taurus. Okay, so again, and he's retrograde the whole time. So he's not even moving forward in Taurus. He's retrograde in Taurus. He doesn't actually station direct until the last day of the year, 31st of December. Then he will start to move forward again. And he will zoom through all of Taurus, all of what he didn't get through, which is the later half of Taurus, up until May 26th, 2024, where he enters Gemini. Okay, so... This is why I'm saying, you know, tune into Jupiter being in Taurus, you know, get grounded, you know, find pleasure in those simple things, you know, strip everything back, cook the meal for your friends, drink the wine. Yes, you know, just find those simple things in life and use the temperance You know, the Temperance is holding us in the tarot for Sagittarius season, and is asking around the reconciling of opposites, the synthesis. It's alchemy, it's magic, but moderation, you know, restraint, yeah. And what have we got here? What else am I talking about? The Eight of Wands is Deacon One of Sagittarius as well. So this first Deacon of Sagittarius, so from the 23rd of the 11th here in Australia, Brisbane, until the 2nd of December, we are in Deacon One of Sag, which is the Eight of Wands. So this is around the speed of the arrow. This is around, you know, fleeting blessings and getting a job done quick, like moving fast. Yeah. Mercury is the ruler of this deacon. So again, this is around messages. So if you're getting a message or you're getting an aha moment, act on it. Yeah, act on it quickly. This is around getting things done. You know, this is sort of quick stick stuff. You know, this is the sort of magic that, you know, I've been taught to work with that is alchemizing very, very quickly. You know, this isn't around, oh, I've got to sit down and do 738 processes before I can manifest. Like, fuck that shit. Like, that doesn't work. There is no trust in that if you are trying to control it. You know, like, this is about alchemy in minutes. This is about you put it out, you let it go, you receive it, you manifest it. Not, I've had to, you know, sit with this for 6 hours and write out a whole fucking manuscript. You know, that is not where magic happens. Magic happens in moments. And this deacon certainly is that. Certainly is around magic in moments, fast delivery, Mercury, Hermes, let's do this, let's go, Jupiter. And look, I know traditionally Mercury and Jupiter, like, they don't get along, like, in a way, right? Because one of them's logical and rational, and the other one's far-seeing. You know, one of them wants, like, that, you know, to those deep, like, you know, like, we're having this conversation, we like keeping it here, but the Jupiter's like, no, let's go and like make it bigger than it is, la la la, right? And ultimately, Mercury is not happy in Jupiter's sign, and Jupiter is not happy in Mercury's sign. So they actually have this bit of an edge to them. But, you know, Mercury is the psychopomp. He can, you know, deliver messages wherever he needs to go. You know, he delivers the messages from the underworld. He delivers the messages to you over there, over there, over there. He's quick sticks. Think about Quicksilver. This is Mercury, right? Like, it's quick. And again, every time I think of like Quicksilver and Mercury, I think of the Terminator, you know, the bad guy in that Terminator 2 movie where he like makes himself that Quicksilver metal stuff and then he can morph into anything. Anyway, there's a lot of magic to be had. Now, we are coming up to a very, yeah, I've got like two big things that I want to talk about for this next week to prep you. The full moon, look, it's foggy as fuck. It's very strange to say the least. I mean, moon in Gemini often is a full moon. And if you go back, full moons in Gemini can often be strange. But at the moment, because Neptune is in Pisces, it's, you know, often the full moon's maybe square Neptune or there's something going on there. But this time, Mercury, the ruler of this full moon, is exactly square Pisces. Exactly, to the degree. So this is super confusing. This is super like, what's going on? I can't see clearly. And not only that, the chart of the full moon here in Brisbane, this full moon is happening in the 12th house. Now, of course, wherever you are in the world, you're going to pull it up at your location, and that might not be the case. And I don't often bring this up because, again, wherever you live and you pull the chart of the full moon up, the moon could be anywhere depending on the rising sign. But in Brisbane, it's in the 12th house, which makes it even more hidden. There's something that's sort of isolated. So as much as this full moon wants to reveal something, as full moons do, as we are completing a cycle, you know, the new moon in Gemini that we had earlier this year, this is the full closing down of this. But again, there's confusion, and I would think that the whole world is feeling very confused right now, and maybe you're feeling confused as well. So not only is this a very foggy, disassociated, elusive, rose-colored glasses wafting around, which, yeah, look, I mean, do we all probably deserve to sort of feel a little bit like that? Yes, we do. And if you want to give yourself a mental health day on that full moon, you go right ahead. Yes, do that, because it is a time right now, and that is a very fucking confusing day. It's going to be a confusing day. It's going to be weird. And that's the full moon. You know, it's a very strange full moon. So it's the 27th of November on a Monday, which is the day that is ruled by the moon. I always find if a new or a full moon happens on Monday, it really does amplify the energy. It's happening at 4 degrees of Gemini at 7:16 p.m. here in Brisbane. So it is a nighttime moon for us that we can watch. But like I said, you know, it's in the 12th house here in Brisbane, so it's hidden. So there's something hidden again, even though we want something to be revealed. It's like, you know, it's like the firefly you just can't catch. You know, it's like there's something lingering, but I can't put my finger on it. What do I want to let go of? I don't know. You know, the moon in Gemini is very cerebral. It's very lively. It can be very debating. This full moon is also opposite Mars. Let's not forget that. It's making some pretty shitty aspects, let's be honest. So firstly, the ruler of the full moon is square Neptune exactly. So straight away, that's just a day of like not making big decisions. Okay, so if on the 27th you're like, I'm going to sign this contract, I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't be making a big decision when Mercury is square Neptune and on a full moon that's in Gemini, which is involved. There is also a mutable grand square going on with both malefics, because Saturn's involved, and Black Moon Lilith. Okay, so there is a lot of changeability, maybe raw primal anger going on. This full moon is opposite Mars. Again, there's anger projecting, explosions, conflict, battles, disputes. You want to channel this day wisely. Is it a day that you might need to just have off? Possibly, if you feel like you can't contain or put a lid on it or you're ready to blow, okay? Because moon in Gemini is words. They say the words, cutting words, right? It's because it's very cerebral. There is no emotion with moon in Gemini. Okay, it's void of emotion because it's a cerebral moon, all air moons. And I think that this really is interesting. The more I've been diving into tarot, because the air signs are the swords. And isn't air words, swords and words, same word, just take the S off the front, cutting. And that is a big thing with air signs, very cutting, very non-emotional, very detached, which is great in situations, objective, all those sorts of things. But when it comes to emotions, it can be cold. Okay, so this could be a very emotionless day. It could be a day where people are feeling triggered and that they just want to fight back, lash out, have a verbal fucking dispute with people. So I would be saying, watch your words, watch what you're projecting, watch what you're saying, because words harm or heal. We know that, yeah? Thank you, Don Miguel Ruiz. Words harm or heal. And this is a very, you know, intense full moon. Like I said, it's opposite Mars. Conflict, explosions, battles, disputes, anger. It's square Saturn. So there's restraint here. You know, hopefully Saturn can give some emotional restraint. But again, it could make you feel emotionally frustrated, like you are in a pressure cooker and you are going to blow everything, your top. You are going to let out steam like no tomorrow in the way of verbal diarrhea. Watch your words. You know, that is my hot tip. Watch your words. It's also square Lilith. So Lilith is involved too, which is that raw primal anger, perhaps. You know, it's going to show up, you know, differently for wherever you are. But this is a full moon that's certainly not like, oh, yay, this is a great full moon. It's so healing. Like I am, you know, definitely saying, hey, you know, we're in Sag season. Let's burn this dross off. Let's release, let's burn down what's not working, for sure. But you know, there's still this real edge to this full moon. There is a huge stellium in Sag as well on the full moon day. Ceres, you know, the Earth Mother, Death Mother, she's just moved into Sag. Obviously Mars and the Sun are both in Sag. Mercury is also in Sag, and the part of Fortune's in Sag. So there is a really sort of interesting alignment that I seen for the full moon, and that was the part of Fortune where we are most fortunate, trining, so making a healing aspect to Chiron. So this could be healing for you if you choose that route. But my biggest thing is that it's time to burn down the illusions, to burn off that energetic dross that's maybe the, you know, the that putrefaction, the decay and the rotting of the death card of Scorpio season. What needs to be burned now for that new life? You know, we think about the new life that happens after a forest is burnt. You know, you can go back after a few days and brand new green, fluorescent green seedlings are sprout, or the tree starts to go. You know, it, the vibrancy of the comeback is, you know, built on the ashes of, you know, what has just been burned to the ground, right? So this really feels like a part of this full moon here. It's just like what needs to be burnt down. And if you've got things to say, write it out, you know, write it out and burn it if you need to. But, you know, watch your words, watch your projection, watch your anger, watch all of those things. Because, yeah, you know, like I said, it's a pretty wild full moon. It's opposite Mars, it's square friggin' Saturn, the ruler's square Neptune. It's going to be confusing. And yeah, not a day to be making big decisions, not a day to be fucking signing your life away. Neptune is illusions. Neptune is rose-colored glasses. Maybe it's time to take those rose-colored glasses off and see your life for what it truly is. Be in reality with your life, which can be a very difficult thing to do when Mercury is square. Neptune, maybe it's a time where you're like, I'm tapping out, you know, and it's just like, I'm tapping out for a few days. I'm going to go to the beach. I'm going to just write poetry. I'm going to watch some Netflix, whatever that is, you know, like allow yourself that time, especially if you're a very yang type A sort of person who just forces and pushes and it's always just on, you know, wearing the badge of busy, you know, that's boring. You know, it's so boring. And so, you know, for those people, I would invite, like, maybe it's time to rest, you know, and maybe it's time to not be pushing and forcing. Maybe it's a time to, you know, use the Mercury Neptune, because we can use these planet, these hard aspects as well to benefit us. And that could be just purely that you give yourself a day off, you give yourself a time out, maybe, you know, you give yourself space to create. You know, Mercury and Neptune together can be quite creative. Maybe you're getting some really incredible ideas come through. Yeah, with the moon being in the 12th, like, how are we going to sleep? We might sleep really well, deep, and get a lot of messages in our dreams, or we might be up, you know. So it's such a fascinating full moon. And, you know, when I really looked at it, I mean, I could, you know, talk about it for hours, but when I really looked at it before I jumped on here, I mean, I'd already said earlier this month, I'm like, yeah, don't count your chickens, because we've got two pretty intense, weird, strange moons. And that's exactly what that's been, you know. So, well, we're about to experience this one. So that's the full moon. Full moon, 4 degrees of Gemini, motherfucker, Mercury square Neptune, exactly. 7:16 p.m., 27th of November in the 12th house here in Brisbane. Okay, I'm going to use this last 15 minutes to talk about something that's really cool and big. Also, I want to say cool, but it is sort of cool. But it again really signifies this 9 month being the end. Okay, as Venus and the South Node come together, this will, you know, Venus will not hit the South Node again until September the 4th in 2024. And I just want to say, when that happens, Lilith is involved. So that's a pretty big hit. I think that Juno might also be there as well. I'm actually going to be taking quite a big container around writing new sacred vows and, yeah, cutting off old agreements. But this is like the preview. Okay, of course, we get the Venus hitting the South Node in all different signs, you know, all the time. Like, this is still a, you know, every, you know, what have we got here? It's November. The next time Venus hits the South Node in Libra, it's September the 4th of 2024. So it's just under a year. So yes, this is normal, but this is the first time Venus has hit the South Node in Libra for 18 years. Okay. So this first hit is big. Okay. Well, it's the invitation. It, you know, it very much is around clearing and letting go, of course, because the South Node is karma. So this could bring up a lot of relationship stuff, a lot of old relationship stuff. And again, there's a very fascinating alignment happening in the sky with the finger of God, also known as a yod, with Uranus, planet of liberation, planet of detachment, planet of revelations, planet of freedom, but also chaos and disruption, making a sextile to Neptune, which is illusions, but also love, okay, spiritual love. And then they're both pointing in a very uncomfortable quincunx, which is what makes this a yod. A yod is, the base of the yod is a sextile pointing to making a quincunx with the apex of the yod. So the apex of this yod just happens to be the South Node, and Venus. So it's like God is actually pointing to Venus in the South Node, very, very similarly than when we had our Venus retrograde. And Venus, was it the beginning of the retrograde? I think so. It was the beginning of the retrograde. Venus is retrograde in Leo. Again, she was a part of a yod. Now she's a part of a yod with the South Node. What karmic debris are you holding on to? This can be stories, patterns, habits, all things to do with relationships, all things to do with money, finances, abundance. But Uranus is asking for the detachment around that. Where do you need to be free? So you can try and work with that adjustment to Uranus. And then also with the illusion of Neptune. Again, we're getting this real feel for next week, which is gonna be a bit weird, you know? Like there's gonna be some weird sort of stuff. You know, like I said, I don't know when Sagittarius season will really kick in. Maybe when we all decide to go on motherfucking holidays, I don't know. But you know, there's still some edges that we're sort of coming up against in this Sag season. Like I've already said, with the squares, blah blah blah. But now we're going to have this weird full moon, and then followed by this Venus South Node conjunction, which is already building. I mean, it's not like it's we're not already feeling it. It's only happening, you know, in I don't even know what the date today is, but you know, it's only happening in, you know, a f not long. So, you know, it's happening. It's all building. It's all you can feel the build in the air. Yeah. And so, of course, with Venus hitting the South Node in Libra, again, it's like the letting go of the martyr, letting go of the victim, letting go of the stories, letting go of the trauma, letting go of relationships that you know aren't serving you, you know, letting go of those relationships that aren't, you know, helping you evolve, that aren't growing you, that aren't empowering you. You know, this isn't about this victim mentality. And Libra can often, you know, it can often sort of wallow and, oh, but I want to, you know, because there's this element of, oh, cooperation and let's come together and unity and all these beautiful things. Yes, that is Libra. But remember, the South Node is in Libra at the moment. It's inviting us to release those tendencies and move toward the sword of Aries, to grab our sword, to grab our inner warrior, and to carve a new path. Not a selfish one, but one that we can be true to. One we're not where one that we're, you know, and I think that this Venus South Node stuff is, it's going to really rumble in some relationships. It's going to bring up some stuff. Okay. And then, you know, and then we've got a whole heap of other, I've written all these Venus dates down, and you know, I'm going to share those over time because the Venus North Node, Venus South Node conjunctions are really, really fascinating. So again, we will not have Venus conjunct the South Node again in Libra until September the 4th. Which Lilith is right there exactly with her, and Juno is too, from my memory. I didn't bring Juno up in the chart when I just drew that up just before I jumped on, but I'm pretty sure it is because I've got that written down. And because hello, I've already written my 2024 kit, so I've already like traveled all of this stuff. So really, really fascinating. Okay, really, just be mindful of what's going on, because not only are we having this very karmic conjunction of Venus in the South Node, but it's coming off the back end of a very weird full moon, which is opposite Mars and, you know, square Saturn, square Lilith. Like it's, you know, there's, it's going to be an interesting sort of end to this 9 month. Again, that karma of nine, the release, the letting go. It's sort of like, what's the last push for you? What's the last thing you can release? Look, I could talk about this forever because it's really big, but what I want to do is I want to actually read the symbol of this. So if you have got something at 22 degrees, and you know, of course I do, darling. You know, of course. 22 degrees is the exact degree that Libra will meet the South Node. Okay. My Pluto is at 22 degrees in my first house, motherfucker. Okay. So this is a big, big thing. So I'm actually going to be reading this symbol, this Chandra symbol for you to get a feel of what this entails as we move through this very karmic fated conjunction of release, of clearing the karmic slate of old relationship stuff being, you know, being reworked in that Libra house 22 degrees Libra. Now, look, of course, if you've got something at 23 or at 24 or at 21 or at 20, I'd go, you know, a couple of degrees either side. Yes, it's going to be, you know, quite close to those planets as well. But, you know, if you're like me and you don't fucking do things in halves, you've got something at 22 degrees of Libra, and it's probably Pluto, like me, or it could be your sun, or it could be your moon. But this is the symbol of that degree. It is a tremendous boulder hovering over the ocean. I really relate to that. I really relate to that Pluto in my first house. So this is my Pluto degree. And if you've got anything at 22 degrees of Libra, this is also the degree. This is the symbol of that degree. Okay. So let's relate this now to this karmic Venus South Node conjunction. Collective cycles are everything here. I could literally unpack nearly every sentence in this, not only because I live it, because it's my Pluto, but because it's so valid for what we're about to go through with Venus hitting the South Node here. Okay, I'll start again and I will not interrupt myself from doing this. Collective cycles are everything here. You are caught between worlds, part of many, belonging to none. Changes are imminent. The air is buzzing with future currents. No rest, no quiet, no continuity. You verge on astounding things, held poised at the edge. You feel propelled by destiny to obsess upon where we all are now, where we came from, and especially where we are going. Gathering impressions towards the harvest, stay tuned for further developments, and knowing it's going to come up any moment now, I can feel it rising up. So, you know, it's a very fascinating degree. And this is the degree that this Venus South Node conjunction happens at. You know, I really feel those changes are imminent. You know, you're on the verge, you're poised at the edge, propelled by destiny. You know, where have you come from? Hello, Venus in the South Node. Where are you now? What's going on for you now? And where are you going in the future? Hello, the North Node in Aries is calling your name. Yeah? So it's a real, you know, and I love even just that it's the boulder hovering over the ocean. It's like it's ready to drop into that ocean, right? It's the heavy boulder. So this can be incredible around, you know, really releasing the heaviness. If it's heavy, put it down. You know, it is time to put the heaviness down of the great boulder. That is the Venus South Node conjunction. It's the old stories, the old traumas, the old cycles, the old looping patterns, the old relationships, the old connections, the continual people that you keep attracting into your life that you no longer want anymore. Look within to go, what is the karma that I need to clear here? Yeah. What do I need to let go of? What's holding me back? And of course, this is happening in that Libra house. So it's a big week ahead, I must say. It really is. And, you know, let's do some big, you know, some big hymns to Jupiter and songs to the sun and songs to the moon and songs to Jupiter and songs to the grass and songs to the trees, you know, really tune into the earth with this Sag season as Jupiter in Taurus is guiding us. She's guiding us home back to our soul song, back to that organic nature of who we are. And we are an extension of the Great Mother. So I really wish you well over this next week. I hope you have the courage and the boldness to, you know, dive deep into this karmic activation of Venus in the South Node and face the truth and take the rose-colored glasses off. You know, you know the fact that Uranus and Neptune are a part of this yod, holding this yod, making this uncomfortable quincunx to the South Node and Venus as the finger of God points to them going, this is your way out, but the adjustments need to be made. Where are you feeling prisoner or oppressed in your relationships? Where are you wearing the rose-colored glasses? Where do you keep making excuses for the partner? Oh, no, but they're going to change, blah, blah, blah. No, you need to change. No one changes for you. No one changes for me. No one changes for us. We cannot wait. This is a time where we honor our own journey. The change comes from within us. And once our perception and the way we respond to life, you know, changes, then everything around us starts to change. Not the other way around. Not when everything out there is okay. Not when he is changed or she is changed, then we'll be okay. This is the illusion. This is the idealization of the romantic glamour magic that Neptune, you know, really, really does, you know, really does hold. Yeah, it holds that glamour magic where you just hope. For me, yes, hope can be positive because it gives someone something, but hope is often missed. It's something that you can't hold on to. You can, but it's an illusion because, you know, it might not eventuate to anything. So Neptune being involved in this Venus South Node conjunction is a very big indicator because it comes off the back of, obviously, you know, Venus, Mercury and squaring Neptune for that full moon, which is foggy and confusing and unclear. Yeah. So a big time ahead of clearing, you know, clearing the decks. So I hope you have that bravery and courage to go there with Venus in the South Node. There's still, you know, the Venus will come back to that South Node, of course, one more time in Libra before the node shift in 2025. So journey well over this full moon time. Take a break, relax, you know, do some poetry or some writing or watch a movie or, you know, just lean in to not having to do stuff. And we'll get through this next week. Okay, darlings, so much love. Bye.